going to pick up at the second to bottom line of Daf Lamed Beis. So the Gemara says, Amar Reb Asi, Amar Reb Yochanan, Mishum Reb Yehuda ben Beseira. Reb Asi says the name of Reb Yochanan that they heard from Reb Yehuda ben Beseira. Shlosha Yenas Hein. There are three categories of wine that are relevant to the halachas we've been learning. So the first is Yain Nesach. So Yain Nesach is Asar Bahanah, that you can't have any hana, you can't have any benefit from that wine. So this is speaking about wine that was actually used in the service of Avodah Zarah. Umetame tumo chamura bechizayas. And it is it causes tuma in the fashion of tuma chamura, which means a strict tuma. And the shear is a chizayas. So what does that mean, tuma chamura? So Rashi says masa va'ohel kemes. So first of all, obviously, if you touch it, that is a form of transmitting tumah. But there's also the concept of masa. Masa is if you carry something, even if you don't touch it directly, but through your actions you transport it. That's another way of becoming tameh, which is the and ohel is if you have something that's tameh beneath the same roof that you are. This is basically. It's not limited only to a mace. A mace is avi avosa tumah, but even a regular avat tumah works that way as well. So you see that yayin nesach, not only is it asur banah, it also causes tumah, and it's tumah that causes the kezias, because ordinarily, tumah of a liquid, since we're talking about yayin nesach, we're talking about a liquid, would be with the revius, but it's because it's chamor, and we're dealing with it where it's chamor with a kezias. Even less than a kezias, there would be makas mardus, according, which means the drabanan form of makas. If someone drinks, according to Rambam at least, if someone drinks yayin nesach, even the littlest bit, but midaraisa, it would be the kezias, top of lamed aleph. So the first category is yayin nesach, which is actually used for avodah zarah. Then you have stam yenam. Stam yenam would be something, wine that is belongs to a guy, or has been touched by a guy. So stam yenam aser bahana umetame tumas mashkim berevias. So the halacha is that it is just like yayin nesach, that it's aser bahana, but it is weaker in the sense umetame tumas. So first of all, it's weaker in the sense that the iser hana in this case would be midrabanan. The entire thing is a gezeira, because if you're going to drink stam yenam, if you're going to drink the wine of a guy, you might come to drink the yayin nesach. So the whole thing is drabanan, but it's also weaker in the sense that we said before that yayin nesach is metame tumah chamura, and here we're going to describe that it's metame tumas mashkin, which is basically talking about it has a status like a vlada tumah, and in fact, in order to become tame, it would need to be the size of a revius, which is the ordinary measure of wine. Now, the way Rashi learns, other Rishonim disagree, but the way Rashi learns is that what it's trying to tell you is not that it itself is metame, that it itself caused something to be tame. It's saying that if it is touched by, let's say, a sheretz, Rashi says, so then it becomes tame like any other liquid. And the question that the Rishonim deal with is, what's the chiddush then? If you're just telling me that it's liquid that becomes tame like any other liquid, so then why do you need to tell it to me at all? Of course, it shouldn't be any worse than any other liquid. Tosa says in Rashi that the reason it tells you that is because you might think, because we're dealing with stam yenam that is related to yayin nesach, that it is more chomer in the sense that it's with the gezias. Others say that it comes to take it out, for there's a sheet of Rabbi Shimon who talks about that in order to be aser bahana, it has to be something that you can eat, that you're able to feed to others. And since you're not able to give stam yenim to others, and it's aser bahana, you might think that it has a different halacha in tuma, and that's why it tells it to you. But in any event, so we now have two categories. Our first category is yayin nesach, wine that was actually used for avodah zarah, which is aser bahana, and it has strict tuma. You have stam yenim, which is wine of a guy that's not known to have been used for avodah zarah, or wine of a Jew that's been touched by a guy, which is also Asur Bahana Drabanan, but has ordinary status of liquid as relates to Tumah. And the third category, Hamafkid Yeno Eto Ovikachovim. The third category is if someone deposits his wine, so this is a Jew who has his wine, and he puts his wine by an oven kochavim, he puts it by a guy, aser b'shesia umutter b'hana. So the halacha according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is that wine, once you deposit it with a guy, becomes aser to drink, but it is mutter to have hana from it. So you're not allowed to drink it, but you can use it in other ways that have hana. Now the Gemara asks, so those are the three categories of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. The Gemara now asks, the Hatanan, we learned in a Mishnah in Demai, Hamafkid Peirosov Eitzel Ovid Kochavim, Harehen Kepeirosov Shalov Kochavim Lashvias Ulamaiser. So the Mishnah says as follows: if you have a Jew who took his peros, so let's assume, because we're going to talk about Shemitah in a moment, let's assume that these were peros of the sixth year. So the guy, I'm sorry, the Jew obviously is allowed to have peros from the sixth year. Only Shemitah is a problem. And he had taken the necessary chumas and maisers from it. So he had regular peros that he could eat, and he deposited it with a guy. So we say that when he gets back the peros, he no longer can assume that those were the same peros he deposited with the guy. And in fact, he has to be concerned that perhaps the guy swapped it out with his own peros, and therefore, if this is already now, we're into the Shemitah year, and he gets these peros from the guy, he has to be concerned and treat it as if it's peros Shemitah, and he has to treat it as if it is mechuyev and meisers. Now, as the Rishonim point out, this obviously goes according to the view that a guy produce is subject to meisers. But in any event, according to that view, it's saying, so what do we see from that mission? We see from the mission that there's a concern when you deposit something with a guy, that you have to be worried that he swapped it out. So therefore, why in our case do we say that it's not aser b'hana when you deposit your wine with the guy? Why not be concerned that he swapped it with his own wine, which would be either stam yenam or yayin nesach, which would be aser b'hana? So why do we say that it's only aser in drinking, but you're allowed to have hana from it? We should say, let's be concerned that the guy swapped out his wine for your wine, or his, you know, and therefore it should be aser even b'hana. So the Gemara answers, kigon sheyichad lo keren zavis. So what are we talking about? You're right. If you just generally gave the guy your wine and he gives it back to you, you're going to have to assume that he swapped it out for his wine and it would be aser b'hana. In what case do we say that it's not aser b'hana? Is, for example, when he designated a separate area for it, he designated a spot for it, and therefore it's considered more washed. He's not likely to swap it out for a variety of reasons that the Rishonim explained. So the Gemara says, Ihachi. So if you're telling me that once he sets aside a corner, it is, we know that he doesn't swap it out and he doesn't mess with your wine. So then the Gemara says, Ihachi b'shesia nami listri. So fine. So that explains why it's not aser b'hana, because we're not concerned that he swapped it out with his own wine. But if you're saying we don't have that concern, then let the guy drink it, because you say we know that the guy just left it there in the corner, and therefore you should be able to drink it too. So we say, where do we have this idea? The Harav Yochanan ikloi l'parvad. Rabbi Yochanan went to the town of Parvad, and Omar klum yesh mishnas bar kapara. Is there a mission of Bar Kapara? So Rashi points out, Bar Kapara at this point had already died. Bar Kapara was one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda Arnasi, who was Masada Mishnayis. And so he lived in Parvad. So Rabbi Yochanan went to Parvad and he said, has anyone heard anything? Anyone have a mission that they want to tell me, a brisa or a mission they want to tell me from Bar Kapara? So Tanalei Rav Tamchum Dimin Parvad. So, someone answered the call. Rav Tanchum, who lived in Parvad, came, and he taught him something that he learned from Bar Kapara, the Tana. What did he learn? He said, "Amafkid yeno eitzel ovi kochavim," that if someone deposits his wine by an ovi kochavim, mutter b'shesia, that you're allowed to drink it. Okay, so that was the halacha Rav Tanchum told him. Rav Yochanan responded, "Kari alea," he said to him, the pasuk in Koheles, he said, Makum sheyipol eitz, sham yiyu, yehu. So he said that in a place where the wood has fallen, where the tree has fallen, there it should be, which he understands to be a reference to sheyipol eitz. Rashi says sheshachin sham tamid chachamim, somewhere that a Talmud Chacham was situated, that he lived. So where a Talmud Chacham fell, meaning that he lived or he died there, Sham Yiyu, there he is. So the Gemara says, Sham Yiyu Salka Daitach, are you telling me that literally a tzaddik after he dies is still there? That can't be. El Sham Yiyu Peirosav. Rather, what does it mean that he'll be there? It means that the fruits of the tree that has since died, but the fruits had fallen off. So if you go to the place where the tree was, you could find the fruits. So what was his point? His point was that he went to the town of Bar Kappara, to Parvad, and by going there, he found fruits that had fallen from Bar Kappara that he had taught people there. And Rashi says, so you see, if you want to, he says, Afkan atzarech ledivrei chachamim, that if someone wants to learn something from chachamim, yishol's b'nei ayir, sheshomim l'meidim imenu, you should go to the people of the city who used to learn by him, u'melamden osel achirim, and that way you'll teach it, they'll teach it to others, or you'll teach it to others. So the idea is, he was saying, it's a good idea to go to someone's hometown to learn his Torah. In any event, what do you see? You see that you have a Mishnah that says if you deposit wine by an Ovakuchavim, you can drink it, right? And it must be, in other words, the Gemara is assuming, in order to say why it's not a stira from the Mishnah, which says that that someone who's mafkid is peros, that we're worried that the guy switched it, that it must be talking about where in a case where he designated a corner. Otherwise, we have a problem with this teaching of Bar Kappara. So what do you see? You see that where you designated a corner, according to this, you're allowed to drink it. So the Gemara is saying, once you're establishing it, that we're talking about where he, sheyichel lo keren zavis, that the guy put it in a corner, and therefore we're no longer concerned that the guy swapped it out. Once you're talking about putting it in a corner, you see from the Braisa of Bar Kappara that it should not only be, that it should actually be mutter b'shasiyo. You should be allowed to drink it. And yet we paskind, or Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra paskin, that you cannot drink it, but you can be nana from it. So why is, if we're talking about yichel lo keren zavis, you should be able to drink it all together. Am Reb Zera, lo kasha, it's no kasha. Ha Reb Elazar, ha Rabbanan. That one view, the view that says that you're allowed to drink the wine when it's put in the corner by a guy, that's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. And our limud of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is going according to the Rabbanan. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says you're not allowed to drink it, but you're allowed to have enough from it, is going according to the view of the Rabbanan. The Sanya, because we learned in a brisa, echad halokeach, the echad hasocher bayis bechatzer shalavi kochavim. So if someone went and they either bought rights to an area within the chatzer of a guy of an ovik kochavim, or he rented space there and he rented a house, umelo yayin, and he filled up the house with wine, umafteach ochosem biyad Yisrael, and the key or the seal is Biyad Yisrael, meaning that not only was it placed there, but it actually either was locked up or had some other kind of seal on it. Rabbi Elazar Mater, the Chachamim Osrim. So Rabbi Elazar says that is considered sufficient protection. The guy is not going to mess with your wine, and therefore you can drink it L'chatchila, and the Chachamim say, no, you can't drink it because we're concerned that the guy will have swapped out the wine for his own wine, or otherwise have touched the wine and turned it into something you're not allowed to drink. Okay, so now we have an explanation of that squares the limud of Bar Kappara, which says you can drink it because that's according to Rabbi Elazar, and we have Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, who says it's not asur b'ana, but you can't drink it. I'm sorry, it's not asur b'ana, but at the same time you can't drink it. That was going according to the Chachamim. Okay. Amr Reb Chia, Breid Reb Chia Bar Nachmeni, Amr Reb Chista, Amr Rav, Amri La Amr Reb Chista, Amr Ziri, Amri La Amr Reb Chista, Amr Li Abba Bar Chama, Hachi Amr Ziri. It's a good way to take up four lines. Halacha Rabbi Elazar. The halacha follows Rabbi Elazar, and therefore we're going to say, as long as something was put to the side in the category of under the stewardship of a Jew, either by seal or by key, that we're going to say that you're allowed to drink it. So what do we see? We see that we're talking about a single chosam, because it was either sealed or it was locked, and we see that you can have wine. So the Rishonim all, or many of them, deal with the question of, we learned that, we said that if you're dealing with vinegar or yayin mevushel of a guy, that you can have it with a single seal. So that everyone wants to know, if we paskin like Rabbi Elazar, so it's saying even wine works that way. So why, in other words, the implication is when you say vinegar or yayin mevushel, that it's only those and not regular wine. So the Rishonim deal with that. Tosa says that the issue is, the difference is here, he's mafkid his wine there. So what is, when mafkid means you deposit it. So the nature of a deposit is you deposit it, you're the one that picks it up, right? So therefore, you're going to recognize your own single sign. Either you're going to recognize the seal, or you're going to see that the room is still locked. So therefore, it's enough to have one. But if you're talking about the other cases where it's talking about where the wine is being sent with a guy, so if it's being sent with a guy, the person who deposits it with a guy and the guy who gets it at the other hand are different people. So therefore, he doesn't recognize the seal as well, and that's why you would need chosim b'sof chosim, that you would need both. Many of the Rishonim have a different girsa in the Gemara, which is, we learned that either it was in the hands, either it was sealed or it was locked. So we understand one or the other, and therefore it's only one seal. Many Rishonim have a girsa that it's both. It was sealed and it was locked. So then they understand that the case we're dealing with there is a case of a double seal. But in any event, halacha is Krabi Elazar. Okay? Amar Rabbi Elazar, hakom mishtamer b'chosim echod, chutz min hayayin, that everything, it's enough to have a single seal, except for wine, she'ein mishtamer b'chosim echod. That so we're dealing now again with this question that wine, it's not enough to have a single seal, you have to have a double seal, which is, for example, what we have nowadays. You have a cork, you have that wrapper around it. That's a double seal. Rabbi Yochanan says afilu yayin amishtamer b'chosim echod, that even wine, it's enough to have a single seal. So clearly they're saying two different views, but the Gemara says v'loy pligi. They're not arguing. Why? Because one is saying like Rabbi Elazar, one is saying like the Rabbanan. So Tosis explains that they're not, when he says they're not arguing, they're obviously arguing, because one says one seal is enough and the other says you need two seals. But they're saying they're not arguing about whose view, one person saying he held like this and the other person saying he held like that. It's saying it's two separate things. They're talking about two different people, and that's what it means that they don't argue. The other opinion of Tosis to explain what it means that they don't argue is saying both of them hold like Rabbi Elazar personally, because we just said before, halacha is Rabbi Elazar, and therefore it's enough to have one seal. They themselves are not arguing, they're just presenting a view that would say it requires two seals. Okay, again, we see a distinction in the machlokas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan. Ika de Amri, there are those that learn differently, that I'm Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, "Hakol mishtamer b'chosem b'sochosem." Two seals is enough for everything, chutz min hayayin, except for wine. She'ein mishtamer b'chosem b'sochosem. That wine, even a double seal, is not sufficient. And basically, if you want to be able to drink wine, it has to have been under the shmira of a Jew. That's the first opinion. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Afilu yayin mishtamer b'chosem b'sochosem." And the second view is saying that even wine is capable of being protected even without the constant shmir of a Jew, as long as it has a double seal in it. So the first view said one seal. The first version of this machlokas said they were arguing about whether one seal or two seals are required for wine. According to the second view, they're arguing about whether two seals is good enough. One says yes, and the other says no, it's not good enough. But in any event, v'tarvayu k'rabanan. So both of them are going like the Rabbanim, because they're obviously not going in Rabbi Elazar. Because according to the second view, because Rabbi Elazar held that it was enough to have one shmirah, because he said you could either seal it or you could lock it. So one shmirah was enough. So obviously when they're arguing, when they're saying one is definitely not enough, and they're arguing about two or none, meaning no option of a thing, so that has to be going like the Rabbanim. Meir Savar, one holds, ki pligi Rabbanan lei Rabbi Elazar b'chosim echad. That when did the Rabbanan argue on Rabbi Elazar is only talking about when there was a single seal. So then they argue, is that good enough or not? Avo b'chosim b'sochosim sharu. But they're saying in the first view of the Rabbanan are saying, we disagree with Rabbi Elazar that one seal is enough, but we agree that two seals is enough. Meir Savar, and the other one holds, that when the Chachamim, when the Rabbanan argued on Rabbi Elazar, afilu chosim b'sochosim asri. That they were asked even chosim b'sochosim, even the double seal. So the second version of the machlokas is solely in the Rabbanan. The first version was a repetition of the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, which, as we saw before, the Gemara paskin like Rabbi Elazar. Okay, So now we've been talking about this double seal business, and the question is, what is a double seal? So the Gemara says, Hechi dami chosim b'so chosim. What does it mean to have a seal within a seal? Amarava agana de puma de chavita shrika v'chasima havechosim b'so chosim. So he says as follows: agana, which many Rishonim understand to just mean the cover of a barrel. Rashi learns that it's a you have a barrel and you put a large plate on top of it. That's how Rashi learns. Agana, and some say the puma de chavita on the mouth of the chavis. Shrika, you plaster it up or you seal it up with some kind of clay or something like that. The chasima, and you sign it, meaning you put you stamp it. So you put some kind of stamp or you carve your initials into it or something that's going to show whether it's been disrupted. That's considered chosim b'so chosim. That's a double seal. V'ilo, lo. And if not, meaning if you don't have these double seals, then it's not considered chosim b'so chosim. Okay. Now another case, dikula umahadek have chosim b'so chosim. So he says as follows. Let's say you have so the first case we were learning was you had a barrel. The barrel, according to Rashi, the barrel had no cover. You put a big plate on it, so that was cover number one or seal number one. And seal number two was you plastered it up. Now we're giving another option, is you could have a barrel. In this case, we're understanding that the barrel has a cover. And so that's the barrel cover is cover number one. And then the kula, he takes a basket of some sort, and umahadik, and he ties it, he attaches it very... very tightly. So we're talking about a basket that he had to work to stretch it over the top of the barrel, and therefore it constitutes the second seal. So that's a chosim b'so chosim. That's a seal within a seal. Lo mahadek, but if you simply put the basket on top, but it wasn't hard to put it on, meaning you could just quickly pull it off, so then that's not really a seal. That's nothing. Lo have chosim b'so chosim, that would not be considered a seal within a seal, a double seal, and he would need some other form of seal in order for us to consider that a double seal. The Gemara now says, node bidiskaya. So he says, let's say you have a node. So a node is like it's like a canteen or something you drink out of that's made out of leather. So it's like a pouch, and you drink from it, and then you tie up the top, and you put that, and so I'm presumably talking about a traveler, you take that canteen, bidiskaya. What's a diskaya? So Rashi and Psachim, we've had this many times, says that the word diskaya comes from du sakya, that it's two sacks. What's it talking about? It's talking about like a saddlebag. You used to put on a donkey, it would be two connected bags on either side that would go over the animal. But in any event, what's the point? That you took this canteen which ties itself up, and you put it in some kind of sack or container that's on the side of a donkey. That's considered chosim b'so chosim when chasimas piv lamata have chosim b'so chosim. Piv lamala lo have chosim b'so chosim. So he says as follows, that there's a caveat to this though, that in order for the canteen, the tied up canteen in the tied up bag to be chosim b'so chosim, it has to be where you have the bag and then it has its knot at the top, and you take the canteen and you stick it face down in the bag. So then therefore, as Rashi points out, it's a big pain in the neck to pull it out, because you have to untie this, pull it out, untie it, drink it, retie it, stick it in head first, and then tie up the top. So in that case, it's considered chosim b'so chosim. But if all you had was the bag on the side of the camel, which had a top with a string, and you put in the canteen not face down, but rather bottom in first, and therefore the knots are right next to each other. So you have a knot that's closing the sock, and you have a knot that's closing the canteen. So that's not considered chosim b'so chosim because they're right next to each other, and you just freeze up both of them, and that we have to be concerned that a guy might have untied it and taken it out. Okay? And now we're given another option. V'chichayef pumei legav v'tzayer v'chasim have chosim b'so chosim. So he said, I'll give you another option. And Rashi, it's interesting, Rashi describes that even in Rashi's times, this is how they used to keep oil. So the idea roughly is that you let's say you have a bag or something, and you tie it up, and then you push the knot that you just made into itself, and then you take it and tie it again, right? So the Chiddush, the Bach and the Taz talk about, the Bach says the Chiddush here is that it's enough to have a knot. So in other words, just to be clear, we're talking about a knot that then gets pushed into the center of this sack and then you tie it again. So the Bach says the Chiddush is that a knot works without having to be sealed. But the way they learn, the Taz learns that it says v'tzayir v'chasim, that it says that like you tie it up and you seal it, means that you're sealing it with some kind of a extraordinary knot. You're not just doing a regular knot. And a knot is sufficient, but it has to be like a knot that's mishuna, that's a little bit different. So that's considered a different version of chosim b'sol chosim, where you have a double seal. Tanur Rabbanan, second to bottom, second to last thin line. Tanur Rabbanan, barishono haya omrim. Originally, they used to say yayin shel ein kushi aser mipnei biras srika. So okay, we're going to now list three pairs of cities, uh-huh, which were basically kusi cities. We've dealt with kusim many times. And so kusim have a different. I'm sorry. Yes, the outbreak of lions, correct. So we're talking about three cities of kusim, that each of these cities was next to a city of people who were ovid kochavim. So Tanur Rabbanan Barishono Haya Omrim, originally they used to say Yayin shel ein kushi, the wine in ein kushi aser mipnei bira srika, that that you're not allowed to drink the wine in the kusi city of ein kushi because it was next to the a city of bira srika where there were ovid kochavim. V'shel birkasa aser mipnei kfar parshoi, and similarly the kusi city of birkasa was, the wine was usher because it was next to the city of Kfar Parshoi, which was a city of the Kochavim. Vishel Zagdor, and the people in Zagdor, the Kusim in Zagdor, you couldn't drink their wine usher mipnei Kfar Shalem, because they were next to the city of Kfar Shalem. So the concern here is that we're not worried about Chasnos. We're not worried about them marrying out because if you drink Kusi wine, because Kusis are Jews, and we're not worried that they use it for Avodah Zarah, because Kusim that wasn't the form of their worship, even according to what we learned that they used to serve the Yonah that was on Har Grizim, but they didn't do it with in this way. So the question is, the theory here is that the wine in the city of Akusi is usher because it's close to an idolatrous city, and the concern is that they allowed. That they allowed Goyim to touch the wine. So that was initially, they said you can't have wine in any of these three Kusi cities. Chazru Lomar, subsequently they came back and said, Chavyas Psuchos Asurois Stumois Mutaros. He says, no, it's not an absolute rule that you can't have wine in those cities, but rather, if the barrels are open, then you cannot have the wine. If the barrels are closed, you can. So what would be the reason? The reason would be because the Jew, we're going to see the Gemara in a second, is because a Kusi knows that if he allows, he wants to do business with Jews. If the Jews suspect them of allowing Goyim to touch the wine, then they're not going to buy wine from them. So therefore, they were very careful with wine that they were going to sell. But wine that they were going to consume on their own, they weren't careful. So therefore, if it was an open barrel, you don't sell an open barrel. That's what you drink. So then you have to be worried you would not drink the wine there. But if it's closed, you would say that's for commerce. Commerce, they're careful. So the Gemara says, Meikara my sover, Lubasof my sover. So we said in the beginning, they thought all the wine in these three cities are usher. And then they said only the open wine. So he says, Meikara sover. Originally, they thought, Ein kusi makbira maga of a kachavim. Loishna psuchas, loishna stumos. So initially, they thought that a kusi is just not careful about keeping wine away from Ovdei Kochavim. So since these kusi towns were next to Ovdei Avodah Zarah towns, so we're convinced that the Ovdei Kochavim are touching the wine. So therefore, you can't take anything from them. Ulubasov Savar, afterwards they decided, Kilo Kapid, when are they not makbid or not careful that a guy shouldn't touch their wine? Apsuchos Astumas. Apsuchos, when it's open. Astumas makbid kapid, but on a closed barrel, they're careful. Why? As I said, because they want to make money. They want to be able to sell it. So therefore, ustumos mutaros. So therefore, they're makbid. Ustumos mutaros. And are you telling me, though, that closed barrels of a kusi are mutter to be purchased or drunk? For a minu, I'll ask you, on Talmud base, hashalei achavis shoyayim biyad kusi. That if someone sends a barrel of wine in the hand of a kusi, so we're now talking again about a kusi that has wine. v'shel tzir v'shel murayas b'yad ovid kochavim, or if you're dealing with tzir or murayas. What are tzir and murayas? Tzir is Rashi says is tzir shel dagim tmeim. Tzir is Rashi says. Hold on 1 second. Is mizeya v'ziva shel dagim kishakov shonos b'machbeish. He says that basically they would press or dry out fish, and this is the zeos, like the sweat or the zivos or the secretions, the drippings that come out. That it basically they would squeeze out the fish juice, which would become sharp like vinegar, and they used to use it to dip things in it. Murayas, Rashi says, is ma'arvin ba'kir be'dogim, that they used to take the insides of fish, the nafish shumne, which were very fatty, they had a lot of fat, and they would take it. So now, what are we worried about with tzir or murayas? So Rashi says earlier. We're concerned that maybe they're gonna switch it with dagim tmeim. That a guy is gonna swap it out with his own tzir. Or in the case of Marias, they're worried that they're gonna replace the Marias, which are the fish innards, which are very expensive, and instead they're gonna put wine inside. Okay? But by a kusi, we don't suspect a kusi as swapping things out. The only thing we suspect a kusi of is that he's not careful with letting a guy touch it. So what are we saying? We're saying if it's wine, you can trust a kusi, you're right. And if it's a guy, you can't trust, and for sure you can't trust a guy by wine, but if it's by a tzir or marayas, you suspect a kusi, but not a guy. And so the Gemara says, im makir chosomo v'sasma v'usutamo, if he recognizes his stamp or his signature and his seal, then it's mutter, im lav, and if not, it's aser. So what do you see? You see that the first case said that as long as it's a closed barrel, you can trust a kusi, even in the town that's next to the Ovdei Kochavim. And here we're saying that if you send a barrel of wine with a kusi, it only works if you're able to recognize your own symbol or your sign. So it seems that we don't trust the kusi, and we're worried that maybe the kusi lets an Ovdei Kochavim touch it. So I'm Reb Zera Lakasha, kam be'ir, kam be'derech. So when do we say that that you trust a kusi, that he doesn't let a guy touch the wine, is in the city? Because in the city, there's people there, and they're going to watch, and it's going to ruin his reputation as someone you could buy wine from if he lets a guy touch it. But kam baderech, here's on the way, you know, while they're traveling, there's no one there, he's not careful, he might let the guy touch it. So we suspect a kusi on the road, but not in the city. So maskevlar of Yirmiyah, midi hanach, the ir lo baderech asu, he's saying, but how did this wine get to the city in the first place? It was transported from somewhere. And if it was transported under the stewardship of a kusi, he probably let a guy touch it. So why could that be the distinction? So he says, no, we're talking about during the time of year, during the harvest time. Kivan de kuleama afri mirtas. That since everyone is around, you know, it's a very busy time during the time when they would produce the wine. So therefore, the kusi is going to be afraid. Amar, he says, hashtei chazili misudili, that if they're going to see me, let the guy touch it, I'm going to lose money because I won't be able to sell it. But during the season that people aren't as around, so similar concept, but not assuming the distinction between city and road, but rather between the time of year as to whether the people are around. Okay, itmar mipnei ma asru sheichar shel ovdei kochavim. The Sulei Gemara now says, why do we asr the beer of an ovdei kochavim? And Tosa says, mipnei ma asru sheichar, isr sheichar lo matzinu lo b'mishnah v'lo b'braisa, v'shema b'imei amurayim asru. So Tosa says, we're asking, why do you asr the beer of a guy? And Tosa says, I don't even know where you get that from. It's not in the Mishnah, it's not in the Braisa. It must be that this was something that the Amorayim were masakin. We're going to see in a minute, hopefully, if we have time to speak out something, where this comes up again. Okay, so why are you not allowed to have the beer of the Ovdei Kochavim? Rami bar Chama, Amar of Yitzchak, Mishum Chasnus. Because we're concerned that if you go drink beer with a guy, you're going to end up, Rashi says, you're going to go hang out in his house, and you're going to like his daughter, who's going to be there, and that's that therefore, you're going to end up marrying his daughter. Rav Nachman Amar Mishum Giloy. That what are we worried about? We talked about this before. That you're worried that they're not careful to seal things up, and a snake could come and drink from it if you leave it open. So the Gemara says, "Agilu demai." What are you concerned about that they left open? Ile magilu denizaisa ananami magalinon. So he says, if you're worried that they left open, Nazaisa, Rashi says, this is when it's still in the barrels or the containers that they used to make the beer, not where they stored it, but where they make it. So if it's there, we also leave it uncovered. So why are we tining on the guy? The Ela de Chavita. So maybe you're talking about when it's already stored in barrels. So the Gemara says, we also keep open barrels of beer. So why are we tining on the guy that we're worried that he left it open and the snake puts things in? We also leave it open. Why do we leave it open? We learned this already, because snakes don't like beer. So they're not going to go into the beer. Okay, so the Gemara says, L'otricha ba'asr d'matzul maya. So, no, we're talking about a place where, what did they do? That they would, beer obviously has water as an ingredient, so they used to leave the water to settle, so that the water that they used in the beer would be clear, right? And that water they used to leave there. So the concern is, it's true that a snake doesn't go into beer, but a snake will go into water that you leave open, and in the production of beer, they were leaving the water open. So the Gemara says, Elameata yashan tishri. But if you're right that that's the concern, that they allowed a snake into the water before they made it into beer, then you should be able to have anything that is old. Because ein manicha liyashin. So he says that something that's old, that's already become aged, is mutter. You could drink it because if there would have been any snake venom in there, it would have prevented it from aging. Hichmitz, mutter. Similarly, if something ferments, then it's mutter because ein manichol hachmitz. So because if there's snake venom in there, it would prevent it from fermenting. So the question the Gemara says, if what we're worried about is the water that got snake venom in it before it was put into beer, we shouldn't worry because once the beer is produced, so we should distinguish and say that when do you have this concern is only by something that is new, but something that is aged already, we shouldn't worry about it because it's already by aging, it showed us that there was no snake venom in the water. So the Gemara says, "Gzera yashanat tochadash." No, you're right. That in theory, our only concern would be something new, not something old, because something old already, something that aged, could not have had snake venom in it. But yet, we're going to make a gzera because we don't want to sit there and make the distinction, and therefore, you can't use the guy, you can't use the beer of any guy. Okay, Rav Papa, mefikin le la'abava de chanus of a shasi. Okay, so Rav Papa was careful not to drink beer by a guy. So what would he do? He would go out to the doorway of the store, of the tavern, and with the person, and in shasi, he would drink over there. Rav Achoy, maisi le lebeise v'shasi. So Rav Achoy, they used to bring it to his house and he would drink it there. V'tarvayu mishum chasnos. Obviously, what they're both concerned about is chasnos, is that why don't you drink beer by a guy? Because you're going to come to marry his daughter or hang out with them. But obviously, he's not concerned about snake venom, because then what does it help him to drink it outside or to drink it back at his house? Okay. I want to say something on this, but let's get to the bottom. If we have a minute, we can talk a little bit about this Gemara. Okay. Rabbi Choy, Avin Harchoki Yiserto. So he says, so what's the difference? One of them, Rav Papa, used to go drink it outside the tavern or outside the store, and Rabbi Choy used to drink it in his home. So, you know, they were worried about chasnus. Rabbi Choy had a stricter standard for himself. He went all the way home before he drank the beer. Okay. Rav Shmuel Bar Bisnoi Kloy Lemorgvan. That Rav Shmuel ben Bar Bisna went to Morgvan, to a town, and this is a town of Jews, but they were choshed them. They didn't trust these Jews. So he says as follows. he says Yisrael Chashudin Hayirash. He says these were Jews who we suspect them. They weren't makbid on not drinking wine of the Kacham. So Isile Chamra, they brought him wine, v'lo yashti, he wouldn't drink it. Why? Because they weren't careful. They would serve Stam Yenim. Isile Shechur, they brought him beer, v'lo yashti, he wouldn't drink it. So Bishlam Chamra Mishim Shimsa. So we say, fine, I understand why he wouldn't take wine, because he's concerned that maybe it is Stam Yenim. So he says, Shechur Mishim Mai. But a beer, what's the concern? What are you concerned about beer? So the Gemara said, Mishim Shimsa de Shimsa. In other words, we didn't want to distinguish. If you're going to end up drinking beer, you're going to end up drinking wine. And since they weren't careful with wine above the kacham, we didn't want to drink by them. Amar Rav. Rav says, Hai shikra da arma'a shari. So he says, Aramean beer is permissible. V'chia bri lo nishti mine. But my son Chia shouldn't drink from it. So the Gemara says, Manavshach, what kind of standard is this? Ishari, Lukuliyam Ashari. If it's good for, if it's mutter, so everyone should be good for, even your son. E Asir, Lukuliyam Asir. If there's something wrong with it, in other words, how do you have a different standard for your son and the rest of the world? Paskin it, yes or no? Ela Rav Savar Mishum Giloy, Va'azo, Merura Dekshusha, Vakalile Zire, Vidolki. I'm sorry. So he says that Rav was worried about snake venom. But what? Why was he not? Why did he say everyone else could drink it? Because the merura, the bitterness, the kashusa of the hops would, the kalile would burn out zire, the venom of the snake. So he says, so he wasn't worried. Once beer turned into beer, it got rid of any snake venom they had to worry about. Udulaki malki leitve. But if someone was already affected, they were already sick, it would make them more sick. And therefore, v'chia bri ha'ovalaki lo nishtimine. So he was just saying, my son Chia, so he's saying beer generally will dilute snake venom enough that it doesn't hurt anyone, anyone who's healthy. But if it's someone who's sick, then it could hurt them. So therefore, his son Chia was sick. So it had nothing to do with halacha. It had to do with halacha, but it had to do with his particular circumstances as being sick. Amr Shmuel, kol ha-shratzim yesham eresh, that all shratzim have poison in them. Shal nachash memis, shal shratzim ena memis. So he says a snake venom kills. The venom of a shratzim doesn't kill. Amr le Shmuel lechia barav. So Rav Shmuel said to Chia barav, bar arya, which is Rashi says elsewhere is a lashon of a ben Torah, so son of the Torah. Tav ve'ema lecha milsum al yisad ha'vei amr rav avuch. So this is Chia bar Rav, the son of Rav. So he came and said, let me tell you something that your father said that was nice. Hachi amr avuch, so said your father. Hani armoi zukani. So he said as follows. These Arameans, Zuknai, which Rashi says is Nefuchim. Nefuchim, like Nefuch, you take a sack and you blow it up. So it's like, whatever, fat. Said that they would drink uncovered things, even though it would have venom in it. V'lomesu, they didn't die. Why? Because I did achli shkatzim ramashim. That somehow that by eating shkatzim v'ramashim it protected them and therefore they didn't die. Chavul gufay. Okay, Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, "Hi chalo de shichur darma aser de ma'ariv be durdoya the yayin nesach." He says that if you have beer vinegar of the Arameans, you can't have it because they mix into it durdoy the yayin Rashi says shmarim, like the sediment of wine of yayin nesach. Ravashi may also shari kidum ma'ariba misra sari. Ravashi says, when do you say that the vinegar beer of an Aramean is usher is only when he gives it to you regularly? But if he takes it out from the storage room, so then you don't have to be worried that it had wine in there. Why? Because wine sediment ruins the vinegar beer. So if you replace it and then serve it shortly thereafter, it's not a big deal. But if you add the wine sediment and then you put it into storage, it's gonna ruin the beer vinegar. So therefore, when he pulls it out of the otzer, this is from the storage, this is obviously not a place that it was. One minute, I have a choice of a few things to say. But okay, let's just do very quickly, we'll do one tosis, because this is actually a very important tosis. Has a lot to do with why we're able to drink beer today and why you're able to drink coffee. We'll see if we have time, but just very quickly. So Rashi says, anyone needs to leave, wants to leave, they're welcome to. This is the Tosfos of Tarvayu Mishum Chasnus, Rav Acha Ovid Harchoki Yiserta. So we say that Rav Achoi and Rav Papa, one did it in the street and one went to his house. Neither of them were willing to drink beer in the house of Ovid Kochavim. And if that's so, you have to be careful not to drink beer by a guy. That they were Amorayim Basrayim, that they were late Amorayim, who we paskin like, they wouldn't drink. That if someone's staying by a guy, it's possible they could send someone to bring beer, and they, you know, it's bring your own beer. So if you come to the guy with your own beer, that you should be able to drink. That even if the guy ends up giving you some, you could drink it mishum eva, because of otherwise he's going to resent that you're not letting him do it.
The wine is not.
What?
The wine is not.
So it's a very interesting shaila about Eva as to whether it applies even in an established place like a bar, if you end up in a bar. But okay, the loyasi mishum chasnus el kvoya shesia b'chanus abirgilus lishas beis avakavim. Okay, fine. So he's saying you have to be very careful not to drink beer. Avalakroy ba'amos shari, but you know he's saying so this is by a place that's miyuchid that there's going to be chasnus that you can't drink beer, but if you just happen to be somewhere by a guy, you could drink beer. Din ben ben. So he says, and it doesn't matter whether talking about date beer or wheat beer. But here's the interesting part: the question is, why is beer not an iser of bishul akum? Because kemos silk of adaisa, like silk of adaisa, which are things made from wheat, which are aser. He says the afagav lechazi lekos kishuchai. Okay, so basically, there's two reasons. There's two reasons why something, we're going to see this shortly, two reasons why something would not be a problem of Ola Shulcha Melachim, is saying if it's something that's eaten raw. Now that is not the case of beer, because you don't eat wheat raw, but it also has to be, it's only a problem of Bishul Akum if it's Ola Shulcha Melachim, and he's saying that beer is not Ola Shulcha Melachim. Okay, he says there's a different reason why it's not Bishul Akum. He's saying as follows, that when you add water to beer, water dilutes it enough that you're saying that it loses its status as tvua, as demonstrated by the fact that you make a shahakol on beer instead of making a mezonos. But others don't like this opinion of Tosas at all, because they say the reason you make a shahakol is not because it loses its status as mezonos, it's because it lost its form. You can't see it there anymore. But in any event, we don't have time. But this gets into the very interesting question. This issue of the water diluting and losing its character has a lot to do with whether you can drink coffee that is made by an Ova Kochavim. That if a guy, which many of us, you go somewhere, you go to a hotel, you go to Starbucks, you know, they're making you the coffee. And the question, why is it not Bishul Akum, has a lot to do with this Tosas. Don't have time to get into it now. Okay.